I have come only to kiss your hand.
Is that all? I said, and gave her a 10-ruble note.
Well, let me kiss your hand.
You're trembling. Are you cold? But get up. Get up from your knees, I beg you. Where do you live? Does anyone know where she lives?
Her name's Lebyadkin. They live in the Filipovs' house by the riverside.
Lebyadkin? Filipovs' house? Who is this Lebyadkin?
He calls himself a captain. An alcoholic who's fond of troublemaking. This is probably his sister. She must have slipped away from him.
I see. Thank you. Your name is Mademoiselle Lebyadkin?
No, my name's not Lebyadkin.
Then perhaps your brother's name is Lebyadkin?
My brother's name is Lebyadkin.
I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll take you to my place now, my dear, and from there, I'll arrange to have you driven home.
Auntie, take me with you too.
Lizaveta, my dear, you know I'm always glad to have you, but your mother may have some other plans for this afternoon.
I must come with you. If you don't take me with you, Auntie, I'll run off to your carriage screaming.
You needn't do that, Lizaveta. I'll happily take you.
Maria laughed hysterically for 3 minutes that the drive lasted.
While I was in a kind of daze and closed my eyes as if to sleep. When we arrived, I motioned Mario to a chair in the middle of the room. Sit here, my dear. A cup of coffee at once, and take care of the horses.
Ma chère et excellente amie, tant quelle inquiétude!
Stepan Verhovensky exclaimed in a dying voice.
French! French! I can see at once that I'm with people from the highest society.
I stared at her with horror. The present company all sat in silence, waiting to see what would happen. Shatov, the brother of my dear adopted charge and housekeeper Daria, did not dare look up. And Stepan Verhovensky, my cherished friend,
was sweating with confusion and felt it was all his fault.
I glanced at Lizaveta.
Her eyes darted from Barbara to the cripple and back again. She forced her lips into a smile, but not a pleasant one.
I noticed that smile.
Without the slightest embarrassment, Maria marveled at the beautiful drawing room. The furniture, the Persian carpet, the paintings on the walls, the bronze crucifix in the corner, the china lamp, the delicate objects on the table. And you're here too, Shatov.
Oh, Shatushka.
Just think, I spotted you when I arrived, but I thought it couldn't be you. Why would you be here?
Do you know her?
I know her.
How do you know her? Answer at once, please.
She lives in the same house as I do, with her brother, a captain.
Go on.
It's not worth talking about.
Of course, one expects little else from you. It's obvious some of you know something, and you're afraid to tell me about it. Maria, you are very cold just now, my dear. Drink this quickly and warm yourself.
Merci. Maria took the coffee cup and at once went off into a giggle at having said merci to the footman. But meeting Barbara Petrovna's disapproving eyes, she was overcome with shyness and put the cup down on the table. Auntie, surely you're not angry?
What? I'm not your aunt. What on earth possessed you to call me your aunt?
Oh, I thought that was the right way of addressing you. Well, Lisa called you that.
What Lisa?
Why, this young lady here.
So she's Lisa to you?
You called her Lisa yourself just now. And I've dreamed of being gorgeous like her.
Shatov turned awkwardly in his chair and grumbled something to himself.
Lisa was looking distractedly at the ceiling, not even noticing Maria.
Come to me, Lizaveta, my sweet. Let me kiss you again.
Lisa crossed the room and stood silently before Barbara.
Suddenly, someone quickly entered the drawing room. Not Nikolai, but a young man who is a complete stranger to us all.
It was Peter Verhovensky, half-son to Stepan by his first wife.
He was a young man, about 27, with long, lank, flaxen hair,